restrictions that would have allowed local police to arrest people for federal immigration violations. The depiction of Jerry Sandusky on a well-known mural across the street from Penn State campus has been replaced following his sex abuse conviction. In its place, a symbol for awareness of child sexual abuse. This is NBC News Radio. Federal investigators are looking for answers as to why two trains collided in Oklahoma on Sunday. They want to know why a freight train traveling across the Oklahoma panhandle didn't pull onto a sidetrack and instead stayed on the main line. A big corporate beer deal is brewing.
InBev, the owner of Anheuser-Busch brands, including market leader Bud Light, is close to buying Mexico's Grupo Modelo, brewer of Corona Extra. Modelo claims to control 60% of the Mexican beer market. Neither company is talking, but experts believe the deal will come to a head soon. Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
And the power bill that an Abilene, Texas woman got left her feeling powerless. It was for nearly $1.4 million. Her provider, Potentia Energy, had mistakenly charged her $1,000 per kilowatt hour. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Nerlman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Travel website Orbitz has made a fascinating discovery. People who book hotel rooms on its site using Mac computers spend as much as 30% more on their rooms than those who book using Microsoft Windows. So Orbitz is now experimenting with different hotel search results for customers, depending on which operating system they're using when they go to the site. The owner of Redbox DVD Rental Kiosk is now also the owner of Blockbuster Rental Kiosk, making for an almost complete monopoly in the business. The parent company CoinStar is warning that acquisition costs will eat severely into the company's bottom line, and it now thinks its profit will be weaker than first thought, CoinStar stock falling in extended trades. South Korea has halting oil imported from Iran. That takes effect July 1st. Oil futures are holding steady after that news right now at $79 a barrel in early trades. S&P futures gaining 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the whole story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yorgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an eight-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%. APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called
First Shift with Tony Trujillo. And a delightful morning to each and every one of you on this Tuesday, the 26th day of June 2012. Where is this month going? Before you know it, it will be July. Yada, yada, yada. Hope if you went out to the fireworks last night, you had a good time, according to the reports, which we'll get to soon. The curfew was a challenge for some of the youngins. Some of them youngins had trouble with that curfew, but all in all, everything worked out fine. We're not talking about anything too terribly scary this morning, so that's a good thing. On top of that, we have a true plethora of things to discuss today, and we're going to get to all of them, including in our 7 o'clock hour, immigration expert, Linda Sarsour, who will be joining us from New York City via the telephone, of course. She's actually headed here to Detroit next week as a board member for Access, who we've had on this program. So we'll look forward to having her on. Candidate for the Michigan Supreme Court, Bridget Mary McCormick, which I'm not going to use the Mary. So, Bridget McCormick, the reason I'm not going to use the Mary, anybody familiar with the actress Mary McCormick? Anybody? Anybody? I thought so, yeah. It's her sister. Did you know that? I did. Obviously, because I just shared that with you. But we'll continue our discussion. Hey, Jeff, real quick, have we heard from the third Supreme Court nominee yet?
No.
All right, now I'm going to rattle a cage, but we'll get to that. Anyway, that'll be at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. And then at 8 o'clock hour, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. He has a variety of things, a virtual buffet that he will be bringing to the show today. Amongst the things we will be talking about, of course, is the announcement yesterday that Mayor Dave Bing will be laying off 164 firemen after there were 9 fires yesterday morning. Great timing, Mr. Mayor. Great timing. And your PR person is the devil? Just saying. Just saying. Anyway, we got a lot to do, so let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, you know, interestingly, it's going to be incredulous. Incredulous. I'm not going to belabor the point because it's kind of incredulous what the mayor has done with his announcement. Incredulousness. Is that even a word? I don't know. Yeah, it is. It is. Incredulous in so many ways. I just kind of look at the reality of what's happening, and you know, it's kind of incredulous the way politically things are happening. I often wonder if our strategists are not being listened to, because I can't fathom that as many political strategists as there are throughout the state of Michigan and southeast Michigan more specifically are collectively so stupid as to get it so wrong so often. So it leads me to believe that the powers that be are not listening to their advisors, their strategists. That's incredulous to me. Oh, my. It really is, though. It's incredulous to me. in so many crazy ways. As we take a look at all of the work that needs to be done that gets ignored, the timing of announcements, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. In fact, we've got a story to share with you about Charles Pugh that, well, makes me scratch my head and say it's just incredulous how stupid that man can be sometimes. Oh, let's just get this thing going. Today's first word is incredulous, and I think it'll be incredulously interesting as we work our way through the morning. Oh, the Detroit Tigers beat the Texas Rangers last night 8-2 in a fine pitching performance by Rick Porcello.
Enjoy him while he's here.
I was just going to say, was that a some kind of audition for a potential trade? Because, of course, his name is mentioned quite often.
Well, you know what month is approaching.
July.
And you know what he did last July.
Yes, I do, in fact. He had an amazing July last year.
5-0, 3.0 ERA. Yes, this seems to be the month where he takes off. And, you know, some fans would be like, well, hold on. It's his one good month, so let's showcase him and trade him. Other fans would be like, well, wait a minute. Now, young kid starting to come into his own. Maybe we trade him. We're trading him right when he's about to take off. So, who knows?
Well,
it depends what's available, I think.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you. It does depend on what's available. Now, here's, you know, here's the conversation to have. This is his fourth year or third year? Fourth year, right?
Fourth, yep.
Fourth year as a starter. Now, he is young. No question that's true. And if we take a look at, you know, statistically some of the things that we can say are good. As a rookie, you know, he was third in the Rookie of the Year balloting. If you take a look at his record for any other pitcher that came in the same time he did, he has more victories than any of them. Well, that's all a good thing. But the question we ask ourselves, of course, is he pitching to his potential? And that's the real question, Mr. Radford. Is he pitching to his potential? And I always love that, too. Like, is he hitting to his potential? Is he doing whatever to his potential? Who the hell determines what somebody's potential is my question.
Right. I mean, how do you project what he's going to do for the rest of his career? If we could do that, then we'd all be GMs. That would be the job to have. If you could tell, you could look at one guy and say, okay, for the rest of his career, he's going to be this guy.
Right.
But I think right now the question that people are throwing out there in terms of Rick Porcello and the Detroit Tigers, which I don't like the question at all. I don't like the premise of it. But it's basically Rick Porcello is a ground ball pitcher, and the Tigers are terrible at fielding ground balls. So time to get rid of him. And then it's like, well, what kind of pitcher do we bring in? You can't field a ground ball, and lately they've been dropping fly balls pretty well. So anytime a ball gets put into play, we basically need five Verlanders is what people are saying then. Five pitchers who don't let balls get put into play.
Okay, if they insist.
Yeah, I would take five Verlanders. I don't know where you get five Verlanders.
I don't think there are five Verlanders in the major leagues. But
well, they are, but there's no way you're going to get them all on one team. I mean, I would take, Verlander, Kershaw, well, not Lincecum anymore, but there are five pitchers that would be completely dominant. Cliff Lee. I would take five of those guys.
Sure I would. Absolutely. Wow. The good news is the Tigers did win last night, and I'll take it. No question, I'll take it. Very happy about that. 8-2. I was happy to see that score this morning when I woke up.
I actually had trouble sleeping last night because, of course, noisy neighbors upstairs. But I woke up. I got woken up around midnight, and the first thought I had was I got to check the Tigers score to see if we're going to have a good day today or not. And we're having a good day, 8-2.
Now, wait a minute. You make it sound like I'm, like, crabby or something if the Tigers lose.
Me and you. I'm putting me in this as well.
Okay, all right.
Don't, I mean, come on. Don't act like when the Tigers lose, we don't come in with a little down or two.
Well, the worst, I hate it when I wake up, and two scenarios. I hate it when I wake up in the morning, they lose. But the first thing I say is, okay, well, at least they don't need to waste my time reading about it, because I don't really care. I don't care what happens when they lose. I don't. I'm just being honest. Or this morning, the scenario was I saw that they won, but I was so freaking busy that I didn't have time to go really do much but just check the score and briefly look at what happened. And I mean briefly, because I just had so much going on before I had to, you know, jump in the shower and come here this morning. So that was kind of disappointing, but in the best possible disappointment. So,
well, and when I was a kid, I used to watch SportsCenter religiously every morning before school. And I would not watch SportsCenter if the Tigers lost the night before, because of course they would be showing highlights, and I would not want to watch. I mean, so it used to kill me when they would lose. And then as a kid, I ended up missing the SportsCenter, at least the baseball section, a lot, because they weren't that good.
Yeah, I have a kid like that. In fact, he's sitting in the same room with you.
The only problem with that is now SportsCenter is garbage, so I don't really watch it that much.
Why? I don't watch it at all, so why do you say that?
Because, you know, remember we had this conversation about MTV playing music videos?
Oh, yeah.
MTV should play music videos. They're music television. That's what MTV stands for. SportsCenter should be SportsCenter. And yet they throw a lot of fluff crap in there instead of just, like, give me scores, highlights, and that's it. That's ESPN News now has a decent, quick throw out stats and scores. SportsCenter now lasts an hour long, even when they have nothing to talk about.
So do they still play the same one over and over and over and over and over again until, like, noon, and then they do a new version of it and
yeah.
do that till 5? And
you're talking about ESPN News?
No, the SportsCenter.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeesh. I was never a fan. I always wondered because, and listen, there are millions, I'm saying millions of mostly men that do this, that watch that same issue of SportsCenter all morning long, and I don't get that. I just don't get it, but they do it. You and I both know it's true, Jeff.
You know what I watch, though, is some other, like, you know, the Dan Patrick shows on TV, so I watch that at the gym, along with CNN and the rest of them, but it was interesting. We talked a little bit about Alex Trebek yesterday.
Yes.
Dan Patrick threw out there that, of course, he would be on your Mount Rushmore of game show hosts, and I started thinking about it. Wait a minute. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of game show hosts?
Well, I'm glad that you had that to think about while you were on the treadmill.
That's what I thought about, right.
Okay, we have to take a break, so we're going to do that. We have a lot to get to. We just have a lot to get to, so let's take the break and we'll get to it. How's that? That sounds like a program. It's called Doing Our Jobs. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
The United States of America, Barack Obama. Do you know Mitt Romney?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, it's looking good so far. Just some construction on Coolidge northbound between 10 mile and 11 mile. That'll be closed through September. Also on Coolidge at 12 mile, that will be closed starting today and last through August. And then on the Southfield Freeway northbound between Allen Road and Van Born, your left lane is going to be closed through late July. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trujano.
And come November, there will be a new name representing the 11th District. We're hoping it's going to be Dr. Syed Taj. And
thinking about myself, when I proved in 2008 when I ran for the township in Canton, which is one of the largest population in my district. It's almost 91,000. So this is the second largest township in my district. And when I ran in 2008, people said, oh, no Democrat ever got elected in this town. So I did it at that time, and I think I did it in the old-fashioned way, where I contacted people, went door-to-door. I told them that, listen, I'm not a career politician, I'm a physician. How do you like having somebody who cares for people, who takes care of patients, who talks to people? So they accepted me, and to my surprise, to everyone's surprise, on the day of election, when 85% of the votes were casted, I got the highest vote.
On 1310, WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. So Jeff sends me a forwarded email yesterday from our friends at Recall Janice Daniels. .org Matt Binkowski, who was just on the show, and John Kulitz, who was on with us some months back, with some correspondence between Troy Mayor Janice Daniels and Bill Bullard Jr., who is the Oakland County Clerk and Register of Deeds. Basically, she was this is funny. She was challenging the recall petitions because of font size. And I'm laughing at this because could she have not, Jeff, at least been original? I mean, could she have not found something, I don't know, unique to challenge the petitions on? She's got to borrow another issue, which is just absolutely hilarious. And here's the good news. I'm sorry. I find this so funny. Bill Bullard, who is very Republican, by the way, sent her a letter that said, yeah, sorry, Madam Mayor, but you're out of your freaking mind, and you have no case here. The recall moves forward, sweet cheeks. Well, I didn't say that, but I did.
He should have.
Oh, my. It was really funny. This is what he writes. Thank you for your correspondence of June 18th, 2012, regarding the type size used on the recall petition submitted demanding your recall from office. Clerk Bullard has asked that I respond to your letter. This is actually sent from Joseph Rozelle, who is the director of elections. He goes on to write, on June 18th, our office concluded a preliminary review. So they got the letter on the 18th, and they took it seriously, Jeff, right away, looked at it. So they got the letter on June 18th, and on June 18th, the office concluded a preliminary review of the petitions and determined that the petitions are in proper form and they contain in excess of the minimum number of signatures required to begin examining for genuineness, which is just a lovely word, of registration and signature, which is not going to be an issue. So Mayor Janice Daniels was bitch slapped by Republicans and just wanted to share that with all of you. I think it's wonderful. And every now and then the right thing gets done. The correct thing gets done. I need to use that word properly. So sorry, Janny.
Can you imagine she's just sitting there like, well, wait a minute, this worked for everyone else. Why doesn't it work for me?
I can see her not getting any kind of advice on this, Jeff. I can see her sitting in her living room saying, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a letter, and I'm going to say, I think we should challenge this because of font size. And without getting any advice at all. Now, we don't have, we don't have a copy of her letter. I'm sure we could FOIA it, but I don't really care that much. But, you know, God bless her. She didn't get her way, the Tea Party wench that she is. I cannot wait for that recall election. I cannot wait until she's recalled so that we have something to truly chuckle over. This woman is just, beyond being the original asshat, she is so fundamentally unfit to serve the public. She's unfit to do it. And that she was able to convince anybody to vote for her is interesting in and of itself. We can see how she, and publicly, how she handles herself. I mean, she's an embarrassment to Troy.
Do you think Troy, when they voted for her, basically it was, you know, maybe they didn't get a lot of votes. I don't know what the voting, you know, attendance was. But it's basically, the people probably just thought, look, she's a figurehead, no big deal, who cares who gets voted in. And then now they're starting to realize how important it is.
Or? I can't answer that question because I wasn't, and, you know, Troy's not even a neighboring community from where I live, so it's, I don't get the local paper. I didn't read up on it. I don't know. The answer is I don't know. So if there's anybody from Troy that's listening that can give us some insight, feel free to call us at 888-552-3595 and enlighten us. But I don't know the answer to that question, but I can certainly find that out, especially if there are people in our audience that are from the Troy area and have a little knowledge on that. But before time gets away with us, which happens so easily on this program, and I don't want to get too far away from this. This past weekend, Bill Maher does a thing called New Rules. So you'll remember that Jeff found a story about a 14-year-old kid that does an online, quote-unquote, radio show. I always find that funny because how can you do an online radio show when radio is not involved? Don't you need to be on radio for it to be a radio show? I'm just asking the question. Not that I'm threatened by this Caden, whatever his name is, 14 years old, extreme conservative, has extreme, and I mean extreme conservative views, and actually is filled at 14, is filled with a lot of hate, very much like his idols, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and his ilk. Well, Bill Maher, one of his new rules, had to deal with, 14-year-olds who feel they have a place in the political discourse. This is what?
Do you want to wait till after the break? Because it's like 3 minutes long.
Oh, we don't have time? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we probably don't have time. I guess I'll have to wait till after the break. Damn it.
It is pretty good, though. It's worth waiting for.
Oh, it is worth waiting for, but I was trying to get it in before the break. Oh, well, I'll get over it. I also, to give you a little preview, Jeff Figer. And I started seeing, not necessarily just on Facebook, other places, Jeffrey Figer has a new ad out. What I find interesting about the ad, and this is not about patting ourselves in the back here for a shift, but what he says, we've been saying here for months. In fact, we say it so often, and I've said it when I've sat in for Ed Schultz, that it creates a lot of controversy amongst the conservatives in this audience who believe I'm absolutely crazy. I'll let it speak for itself. I'm not going to go there quite yet. So I'll let it speak to itself, but we'll get to it. Do we have time to do the Bing Lang off the firefighters?
No.
No, we don't have time to do anything. So I'm just going to sit here for the next 2 minutes.
We can play the Figer ad.
No. We'll wait because I want to talk about it. And I can't play it and then come back and do something else. And you understand, it's just one of those things. It's all about timing, 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 timing. I didn't back time this segment properly. It's all on me. And for those that want to criticize me, today would be a good day to do that. Absolutely would be a good day to do that. There's some good stuff, though. There's some really good stuff. And we'll get to we're going to try to get to as much of it as possible. You'd be amazed when we prepare for the show how much we don't get to. There's a reason we prepare the way we do, because you never know what you're going to get to, what you're not going to get to. Sometimes you get into a conversation about raccoons and cats, and that eats up, you know, 15 minutes of the show that you would have never thought in a million years that would have got to. Yet it did on Friday, whatever day it was just a little odd. And we're in the process, by the way, and we now can tell you that we are definitely going to be at the Democratic National Convention, which is the day, it begins the day after Labor Day. So I believe that is September 3rd. So Anthony and I will be flying to Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll be there for the majority of that week, and we'll be doing the show live. from the Democratic National Convention, which should be very exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. A lot of work to do to get prepared for that. Amongst the other things we're going to talk about in this hour, the Supreme Court made some remarkable decisions yesterday. One of them affects the state of Michigan. Are you familiar with what it is? It has to do with teenagers, and get a load of this, life sentences. Well, we'll get to all of this on the other side. Now that I've eaten up those 2 minutes that I couldn't use any other way, we'll take the break. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift, and we will continue right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, and it is looking good so far. There are no accidents or slowdowns anywhere. But, of course, we got construction pretty much everywhere, so you make sure you take your time heading through those construction zones. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Coonan.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Mitch McConnell, what a scream he is. The Republican Senate leader, who's perpetually in a political pout, hates any effort to limit the gusher of corrupting cash that corporate powers are spewing into our elections. In particular, the Kentucky senator is mad at Barack Obama, accusing him of, quote, attempting to change the First Amendment by curtailing the free speech rights of corporations. Mitch, you see, agrees with a five-man Supreme Court edict in the infamous Citizens United case that a corporation is a, quote, person, that corporate money is, quote, speech, and that these poor corporations have had their, quote, voices silenced by past congressional action to restrict their buying of our elections. Mitch is also one of the few Americans who actually gets misty-eyed over the odd notion that corporations have not had a strong enough voice in our government. As I mentioned, Mitch is mad, as in truly insane, cuckoo, nuts. Earth to Senator. It was the black-robed thugs on the court who arrogantly changed the First Amendment, not Obama. They completely perverted the founders' intention that corporations should have practically zero involvement in the people's elections. Second, Obama's effort to curtail the corporate purchase of our political system is decidedly modest. He's simply proposing that those flooding our airwaves with negative attack ads should have to disclose their names, rather than hiding behind front groups. Yet, McConnell defends the secret corporate assault on our democracy by wailing that merely having to admit their sponsorship of the ad blitz would expose these Goliaths to, quote, harassment and intimidation. This is Jim Hightower saying, gosh, Mitch, how can we thank you enough for defending these poor corporate Goliaths against us Davids? Like I said, McConnell is a scream.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word. First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. We're going to hit the ground running. We start with one of Bill Maher's new rules, and this one surrounds a 14-year-old conservative, quote-unquote, radio show host that's anything but. Let's listen.
Finally, new rule, if a 14-year-old can deliver your message, it's not because he's gifted. It's because intellectually, you're a child. This is Caden Cowger, a 14-year-old conservative who has his own radio show and who made a splash this month for his ability to sound just like his older rivals on AM radio. Take a look.
We've got about 30 teenagers in this county that I'm at that are homosexuals, and it is sickening. I'm going to tell you this, guys. President Obama, Vice President Biden is making kids gay.
It's like one of those time travel movies where Rush Limbaugh goes back in time to when he needed just one Oxycontin to get high. I tell you, this kid's got 90% of Rush's venom with only 10% of the biomass. And I believe he could be president someday. And judging from his grammar, he could be President Bush. Oh, I kid the young Republicans, and you know, Caden is not the only tween right-winger out there. Back in 2009, Jonathan Crone, yes, that's a real book. I know, it looks like something we made up, but it's not. He published Defining Conservatism, the principles that will bring our country back and teach it to shave. Here's a little bit of Jonathan speaking to the CPAC convention.
I want you to understand, I want the American people to understand, the conservatism is not an ideology of feelings or romanticism, as some people like to say. It is an ideology of protecting the people and the people's rights.
Oh, my God. Is there a charity or something I can give to? Wedgies Without Borders. I mean, I'm not trying to slam these kids because, look, being a is totally understandable when you're 14. You're too young for sex and too old to carry your blankie everywhere. It's a very stressful time. But my point is to Republican adults, and it is this. When 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do and can produce radio shows and books and speeches that sound exactly like yours, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth. Remember the Republican debates we had this year? They applauded for the idea of letting a sick man without insurance die. Herman Cain got cheers for saying he'd electrify the border fence. They booed a gay man serving his country in the military. No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys. There's no ideology here. It's just about being a...
Yeah, and Nina is completely correct. Just let that stand on its own. It amazes me. You never see this happening on the left, but you certainly see it happening on the right, and people championing him. I'm surprised that Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity hasn't had this young man. And maybe he has had them. They have had him on their shows. I wouldn't know. I don't watch them, nor will I watch them. Maybe they give this kid celebrity status and say, see, even 14-year-old boys get it. Yes, we need more 14-year-olds that go out and speak venomous hate about homosexuals because that is what will make society stronger, right? Come on.
Remember that awkward video of, a representative, a Republican representative who made his 6-year-old son do a video and was feeding him lines during the interview with Hannity.
Yeah, yeah.
They love to parade kids out, and even though they know they don't know what they're saying, they force them to say whatever, and it's embarrassing at times.
No question, that is true. You sent me, one of the things that you sent me yesterday, which I posted on our Facebook page, was a link to the hate mongers and within the LGBT community. And there was this article on Salon.com about the closeted homosexuals and how they are the monsters of the LGBT community. And it went on to, there was a slideshow attached to it. And I don't know if you went through the slideshow, Jeff. I did. There were 21 separate former Republican something, either members of Congress or senators or parts of extremely conservative PACs or whatever. they were all very conservative, Republican in nature, closeted hate mongers that hated the community that they were professing, that they actually belonged to, they were professing to hate. It's just, it blows my mind how hard people work at denouncing something that they actually should be embracing. I don't get it. I really don't get it. And let me make this clear. If one of my children were to come to me and say, "Hey, Pop, I'm gay," okay, I'm over it. I would absolutely be over it. I can't imagine having to live a lie like that. I really can't. So, onward and upward. Moving on, just for the sake of time, Mayor Dave Bing, yesterday, there are 9 fires, suspicious fires, in the course of an hour, spread throughout a very small area of the city of Detroit. On that same day, the mayor decides to lay off 164 firemen. Let's listen to the report, and I'll come back and chat about it.
The city revealed its plans to lay off more than 160 firefighters. 7 Action News reporter Kimberly Craig tells us that plan of layoffs is sparking a lot of concern.
It was like all hell broke loose. That's how one Detroit fire lieutenant described the series of overnight blazes on Detroit's east side alone. About a dozen suspected cases of arson. And by sunrise, Detroit firefighters were dealt another blow, one from the mayor.
In a disastrous turn of events today, Mayor Dave Bing issued layoff notices to 164 firefighters and announced the closing of 16 fire companies, putting into immediate danger the safety of Detroit's firefighters, residents, visitors, and taxpayers.
Today, the mayor said the 164 firefighters would be laid off by the end of July. The head of Detroit's firefighters union, Dan McNamara, called the decision to cut firefighters indefensible because he says the union had proposed up to $31 million in savings through givebacks and restructuring with no layoffs. McNamara says the city has backed out of the deal they thought they had.
With these cuts, I have no idea how we're going to be operational. They're talking about reducing the response. They're reducing our investigators, our fire inspectors. We're going to be a skeleton staff.
By the fall, the mayor says he expects to be able to rehire all of the firefighters slated for layoff, some brought back after others retire, but the majority the mayor expects to be rehired with money from a federal grant.
This city should have been working on these grants a decade ago. I don't know what the decision was to let this fire department slide into the hole it's in right now. But at least we got to stop it. We've been saying stop it, stop it. Maybe now somebody will pay attention.
In Detroit, Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News.
Well, one of the things that they are looking to do is to go from 59 companies to 52. And again, they're going to in total lay off 164 firefighters in addition to the budget cuts. At what level do we begin to see that there's a serious problem with safety that there isn't already in the city of Detroit? Fireworks were last night, and we're going to listen to some audio on the other side of the break, where the police department corralled 250 kids that were out. What did you say? The curfew was 6 p.m., Jeff, yesterday?
Yep. Yeah. If you're under 17 and you're by yourself, you got rounded up.
Okay, you said if you're by yourself. So you mean if you were not with an adult?
Right.
All right, so if there were like 3 17-year-olds together, that would still be an issue.
Right.
Yowza. Okay, well, we're gonna listen to that on the other side of the break. But I'm very concerned. I'm very, very concerned when you start cutting, and we see this. We see this in Hazel Park. We've seen it in other communities. We got that call from a listener last Wednesday that he had called the police. Police response is down, out of whack. We know that there are communities that can't staff their police and their fire departments. All of this is in a direct correlation to the state of Michigan, more specifically Governor Snyder, changing the way that revenue sharing is doled out here in the state of Michigan. And revenue sharing, of course, pays for things like, police and fire. Many communities have approved Headley overrides, millages. That pay specifically for police and fire. We just passed one where I live in Dearborn Heights. I'm always concerned that they're not asking for enough, although we do know that the one gentleman that called the show last week said that they have they're paying an extra 9 mils for police and fire, and yet they're not getting what they're paying for. That's also the other part of the equation. Ladies and gentlemen, you are aware that as a result of Proposal A, which is how we pay for our schools for all intents and purposes, that every time we want to raise taxes, we have to go to the ballot box. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Some communities are a little more generous than others. Some a little more realistic than others. Even in some of the wealthier communities that hate more taxes, understand that without passing these overrides, these millages, things like schools, police, and fire begin to disappear. But how many times can communities go back to the well, per se, and ask you, the taxpayer, to pay just a little bit more? You see, the conversation is easy to have. It'll only cost you $6 a year. Yeah, until you factor in, you know, the millage last time and the time before that, the time before that and the time before that. Oh, not to mention the time before that and the three times before that. All of a sudden, that $6 a year is $197 or $415, depending on where you live. Yep. Go ahead, Republicans. Continue to legislate conservatively because God knows you're doing so much for the health of our cities. We got a lot to get to on the other side. Don't you dare go anywhere. This is First Shift on this early Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools. They've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-888-888.
888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. Pleasure to be with you. I just want to get to as much as we possibly can in this hour from our vast list of audio. The fireworks were last night, by all intents and purposes. It was a success. This report from Channel 7 WXYZ talks about the fireworks and the roundup of those out after curfew.
A great show over the Detroit River. Take a look at this from Chopper 7. The annual fireworks lighted up the sky. Let's take a live look now from Chopper 7 as the traffic starts clearing out of downtown. The only fireworks you're going to see right now are on the ground. 7 Action News reporter Smita Koloki is in Hart Plaza. And Smita, it certainly sounds like this one went off without a hitch. We didn't hear of any kind of trouble.
That's right. You know, it did go off without a hitch. The fireworks were beautiful. Nothing got in the way, not the weather, certainly. And because of all of these security measures, safety wasn't a factor as well. It's the sound of freedom, the 54th annual Target fireworks.
They're so much bigger and brighter this year. I really love them.
The 10,000 pyrotechnics by Zambelli Fireworks International put on quite a show, and folks out here are happy that's the only show they had to see.
Every year is better. Every year. It's great.
Cash-strapped Detroit had plenty of backup. Thanks to neighboring law enforcement agencies at the local, state, and federal level, there were 1,200 pairs of eyes on Belle Isle, downtown, and around southwest Detroit.
Plenty of police. So, you know, I'm glad to see them out.
Yeah. You feel pretty safe?
Oh, yeah. My voice feels safe, too.
The small army of officers rounded up hundreds of teens who were violating the 6 p.m. curfew. Anybody under the age of 17 without a guardian was taken into police custody.
We need our parents and responsible guardians to be exactly that tonight. We're not taking any stuff. I mean, we're going to make sure that if there's any inkling of anything that would go against a family-friendly environment, we're going to get it out of our way very quickly and very decisively.
And as you can see, it's pretty much clearing up downtown. The cleanup is underway, and most of the folks are on their way happy and on their way home safely. Now, we talked to some officers that said the big part of that was that curfew enforcement. Some officers are estimating somewhere between 300 and 400 teens are picked up. Now, when we last spoke with Detroit police, their official number was 250. That was as of 8:30. They are not going to release another number tonight. They say we should learn more tomorrow morning.
Okay, the sound of freedom sounds like rockets and mortars going off. I just find that interesting, just juxtaposition. We'll move on just because we got a lot of stuff to do. We mentioned earlier in this hour, Jeffrey Figer is running a new ad, and he's running it as he often does, I think, just to be Jeffrey Figer and to be a little bit shocking. Now, I'm just saying to say it because we have been doing this for months. What he is about, what we're about to share with you, is something we have been saying literally, I got to go at least 6 months, maybe longer. But let's listen to Jeffrey Figer's latest ad.
This is Figer's Law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Figer. Can we speak honestly about racism? If President Obama was white, do you really think there would be people questioning his birth certificate and whether he was born in the United States? Perhaps you don't remember that Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, ran for president in the 1960s. George Romney wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Mexico. And do you remember anyone questioning whether he was a real American citizen or whether he could run for president? Every time I hear someone insinuate that President Obama is a Muslim or a communist or a radical or a foreigner, all I really hear him say is that he's black. And as a white man in America, I know damn well that it really bothers some of my white brethren that a black family is occupying the White House. Remember, if you don't stand for something, you end up standing for nothing.
All right. Now, he did respond to that. He did some interviews. But as with all due respect to Mr. Figer, I think I'm just going to take it from here. It seems to me that he's not entirely wrong, of course, because, in fact, he's not wrong at all. It would be disingenuous of me to disagree with anything he said, since I've said it myself, like I said, for months. You know, it was somebody, as I was doing the Ed Schultz show one day, somebody had sent me an email that said that instead of calling him the N-word, the president, that is, they use words like socialist and fascist and communist, and it's always, of course, very interesting. I couldn't agree more. I've had some private discussions with some of you. As you know, you've called me in my office. We talk about things like this. It concerns me. It greatly concerns me. As I speak publicly, and even as I did on Saturday in Monroe at the middle class rally, I talked about racism and scared white men in America. And I think part of the problem for me is that these are folks that don't have enough money to have power but have enough voice, because we all have a vote, right? We have enough voice to create problems. And like everything else, if you repeat it often enough, it has this tendency to become true, even if it is a bold-faced lie. Well, you know, let's see if we can apply that both ways, right? That door does swing both ways. So what's to say that what I'm saying is not a lie? Well, we talk on this show a lot about facts and opinion, right? We actually revel in facts on this program. And I've said before, when something is my opinion, I state it as such. And so let me be extremely crystal clear on this. This is my opinion, not fact. This is my opinion on what's happening in America right now. It's my opinion on what's happening with the political discourse. It is my opinion that members of Congress, members of the United States Senate, yeah, white Republican men want to see President Barack Obama fail in profound ways. And as a result of doing that, yes, it's because of their racism, as a result of doing that, it has held an entire country back. Millions upon millions of Americans have suffered. And some have even died as a result of Republicans refusing to do the right thing. We have a transportation bill that would create thousands of jobs. We have a jobs bill that would create millions of jobs. Millions of jobs. Yet the Republicans say, no, this is just about printing more money and putting us further in debt. You know, when you invest in something and you get something in return, I'll give you an example, a profoundly clear example. If you invest money to build or restore bridges and then you actually get a new or restored bridge, that is a good thing. How about building a new school? Well, that's an investment that actually does pay off, isn't it? How about actually reinvigorating and reinventing our electrical grid? Gee, that's an investment that would pay off in huge ways. I could go on, but I think you get my point. When the president talked about his jobs bill, it was about rebuilding America, a America that is decaying right before our eyes. So we need to have the conversation about when we begin to rebuild this country. Or folks, it's not like we're not already being left behind. How far behind will we have to be before we're number eight? We're number eight. That doesn't sound very good, does it? It's not about winning the Olympics, folks. It's not even about winning hearts and minds. It's about the reality of what's happening in this country. And we better start paying attention. Or before you know it, we will be number eight. We'll take the break. We'll come back in the next hour. A lot of great stuff to get to. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, and it is looking good so far. There are no accidents or slowdowns anywhere. But, of course, we got construction pretty much everywhere, so you make sure you take your time heading through those construction zones. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Another soggy day in the Sunshine State. Florida getting pounded by Tropical Storm Debbie yet again, with torrential rains from Tampa through the Panhandle. NBC's Carrie Sanders.
In Pasco County, some flooded roads are closed, and homeowners are sandbagging as fast as they can. As those waters recede in other areas, sinkholes have started to open.
Analysts agree the Supreme Court ruling on Arizona's immigration law did nothing to settle the debate on how far states can go to police their borders. Left standing, the provision requiring police to check immigration status. Critics say that can't be done without racial profiling. The final steel beam has been lifted atop One World Trade Center, the first new skyscraper at the site of the 9/11 attacks. The 72-story tower set to open next year. And tennis stars, the Grunt Police, are coming. The Women's Tennis Association is developing a Gruntometer, saying it's time to drive excessive noise out of the game. This is NBC News Radio. Six massive wildfires are keeping crews busy in Colorado, and officials say there's little chance of containing the biggest, the High Park blaze, anytime soon. NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
In Estes Park, a gateway to the Rockies, 22 homes were destroyed by a fast-moving blaze. In Fort Collins, the High Park fire has now claimed 248 homes. 3,000 are still evacuated.
A lightning strike at a Norwich, Connecticut golf course has sent 15 employees to the hospital. How hot is it? The mercury is rising throughout the plains, with 100-degree readings from Miles City, Montana, down to Brownsville, Texas. Dodge City, Kansas, looking at a high of 110 degrees. And the hottest new electric car, the Tesla Model S, has all the trappings of luxury, and according to the EPA, it can travel 265 miles between charges. USA Today calls it spectacular. Of course, the price tag is, too, 100 grand. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting GEICO.com, where you can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The summer driving season has shifted into high gear. So right now at Sears Auto Center, save $35 on a road trip ready package that includes an alignment, conventional oil change, tire rotation, and air filter. And buy three, get one free on qualifying Goodyear tires. Stop by Sears Auto Center or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. This is the way to roll into summer. This is Sears Auto Center. Most vehicles package regularly $137.97. Free tire of equal or lesser value, M714. Shop fees and exclusions apply. See store for details.
The board of Facebook has finally tagged its first woman. Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg becomes the first female board member in the company's history. South Korea says it will accept no oil shipped from Iran effective July 1st. It's a move many in the world community are happy about, but the oil market must account for the tightening supply. So we're seeing oil futures reverse course a bit, no longer falling. And early electronic trades crude up 15 cents to a quarter above $79 a barrel. A slide for stock in Coinstar in extended trades after the company announced its profit will be crimped by acquisition costs this year, and it sliced its earnings forecast. That acquisition is just closed. Coinstar, which owns all Redbox DVD rental kiosks, now owns all Blockbuster kiosks as well. U.S. stock futures a bit higher following the course set in Europe and in most of Asia today. S&P futures up 4 points, NASDAQ futures gaining 10. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the whole story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on NBC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Narrowman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped. Narrowman, call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on a glorious Tuesday morning, the 26th day of June 2012. We have an amazing hour of radio lined up for you. We'll remind you, at the bottom of the hour, Michigan Supreme Court candidate Bridget McCormick will be joining us for an extended interview. We'll get to know her a bit better. For some of us, we'll get to know her for the first time, so you'll want to look forward to that. But first, we have some important business to get to. As you know, between the president's announcements with the DREAM Act provision last week and the Supreme Court's announcements yesterday striking down most of Arizona's Senate Bill 1070, we now have something to really sink our teeth into. Although, interestingly, the racial profiling part of the law was left intact, the U.S. Supreme Court definitively said, we leave this open to further legal interpretation, which I'm not sure was cowardice or something else. You can fill in the blank there. Let me turn my attention to my next guest to really chat about all of this. And I'm happy to tell you she's actually headed to Detroit a little later on this month. Joining us now is Linda Sarsour. Linda is the director of the Arab American Association of New York, advocacy and civil engagement coordinator for the National Network for Arab American Communities and Access. And of course, many of you know Access is headquartered right here in the Dearborn area, which is a neighboring community to where I live. And we welcome Linda to First Shift this morning. Linda, what a glorious day it is here in Detroit, and I hope you're having a beautiful day there in New York.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
It is my pleasure, and many of my brothers and sisters in the Arab American communities have tweeted this morning that they're excited you are on the show this morning. So I'm glad that you've had a chance to join us. I just want to play briefly some sound yesterday, Linda, from Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, kind of spinning what the Supreme Court had to say yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Is a day when the key components of our efforts to protect the citizens of Arizona, to take up the fight against illegal immigration in a balanced and constitutional way, has unanimously been vindicated by the highest court in the land. The heart of Senate Bill 1070 has been proven to be constitutional. Arizona's and every other state's inherent authority to protect and defend its people has been upheld.
Well, you know, I guess I just, Linda, as I'm listening to Governor Brewer speak, I'm wondering if she got the same information I did, because I don't see this as a big victory for the radical right in Arizona, do you?
I absolutely don't think it's a victory. I mean, she called it, I also saw her quoted saying this is a victory for the rule of law. But one part of it is that she was victorious because one of the most controversial provisions of her law was actually upheld, you know, opening the floodgates to racial profiling, which is really what, at the core of it, is what we had a problem with. And she says, no, that's not what it's going to be about, and they're leaving it to the discretion of police officers. And we've seen what happens when you leave when you put law into the hands of police officers. In New York City, we saw the stopping and questioning and frisking of 700,000 young blacks and Latinos. So for me, I'm not really hopeful that that Arizona police officer or all of them are going to be abiding and ensuring that there will be no racial profiling with this law.
Well, you know, and Linda, I do find, again, I said this in my introduction, I find it interesting the Supreme Court actually said that we're leaving this open to legal interpretation, which means there will be more legal challenges, and chances are, Linda, when all is said and done, this ends back before the Supreme Court at some point. And again, I can't figure out if they were just being cowards or what's their reasoning behind doing what they did.
I mean, it's quite obvious to me. I mean, both with the DREAM policy that came out last week and with this, I mean, it's an election year. I mean, they're not going to give us everything that we want. They're feeding us tidbits just for us to move forward in 2012. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I see this as setting a precedent across the country. You know, if we're going to allow states to enforce immigration law, you know, we basically what we do is we undermine the federal government and the federal laws, and we're basically opening the floodgates. We've seen the laws in Georgia and Alabama and across the country. For me personally, I was disappointed. I was frustrated. You know, I know for Arizonans, it might have been a small victory. But I think that the movement has just begun, and we're going to continue to fight this, and we're going to continue until we get the entire DREAM Act passed, not just some very minuscule, I feel like even for the DREAMers, I mean, a lot of them were like, listen, temporary work status, like, what is that? Like, what is going on here? So I'm not really sure how happy the movement is right now, and I know in New York yesterday we had a press conference, and we weren't as enthusiastic as Governor Brewer was.
Well, I'm not so sure that her enthusiasm is based in reality, but she's a politician and she's going to spin it her way. My guest again is Linda Sarsour. Let's talk. Yes, there is a great deal of disappointment, but at least we're having a more proactive, Linda, proactive conversation on these issues. Certainly, as we talk to, and again, I live with in my own community with many Arab Americans, as you know. I live in Dearborn Heights. Certainly, there are certain constituencies that are literally picked on. Certainly, the Arab American community is picked on. The Latino community is picked on. In fact, I had a conversation with a handful of African Americans a couple years ago where they said, well, gosh, this immigration thing's been great for us. We're not getting picked on nearly as much as we once were. And that's not progress, though, Linda. So is just having more of an opportunity to discuss solutions at least a step in the right direction? Or is this just all political theater and we're really not accomplishing a whole lot of anything?
I mean, one thing we have accomplished, and I will say this in New York and in Michigan particularly, is that we've started to build stronger allies, particularly with the Arab American community, the Latino community, Asian community, as well as the African American community. There wasn't much that we felt like we had in common with them. And in watching the targeting, the profiling of Arab and Muslim Americans has really brought us closer to the African American community. We're learning from their organizing skills. We've been working with the NAACP National, the National Action Network, the leadership conference, and really bringing our issues together. Because at the end of the day, while the African American community doesn't think that they're affected by immigration policies or our broken immigration system, in Arizona, they sure are going to be affected, because when police officers are profiling people, they're profiling black and brown. So the African American community, unfortunately, they continue to struggle. Now we added the Latino community, and unfortunately, the Muslim and Arab communities are added onto that list. But I think what we need to do is we need to join together, join our forces, and in 2012 election, we need to come together and say we're only going to put in legislators that represent our issues.
legislators who care about civil rights and civil liberties, and legislators who are ready to make a commitment to comprehensive immigration reform. And those are the people we're going to be voting for in 2012.
Melinda, there's no question that that has to happen. There are no other options. You can't rely on those that are there. Even those that are promising to do the right thing, they're going to hide behind other ideologies. They'll hide behind, well, my colleagues who are in the majority, or my colleagues who are in the, you know, that are, yes, I am in the majority, but I can't get enough support. All they're going to do is hide behind, you know, a political agenda. And we need to move beyond, and we needed to move beyond this for many years now. In fact, had we had passed the DREAM Act the way it was proposed initially, the way it's still sitting out there, you and I would be having a very different conversation today.
I mean, the reason why the DREAM Act didn't pass is because some of the Democrats didn't vote for it. I mean, it's not always that we keep blaming sides. I mean, I blame all politicians on that. And I think what we need to do is to make the minority the majority, and that's the problem. I mean, if you look at Congress right now, Tony, they don't look like you and me. 80% of Congress is white males in their 60s. I mean, that's not reflective of our constituencies and definitely not reflective of our country. So we really need to start working hard, start putting people like you and me in office, progressives, people who believe in civil rights, and people who are not going to compromise. This is the other problem. I mean, I understand that there has to be negotiations and we need to compromise, but when it comes to separating families, when it comes to detention and you know, funding the private prison complex, which is, I mean, if you've been to any of these immigration detention centers, and I've been to many, I mean, horrible conditions. I mean, you would think we were in a third world country. And I mean, these are the kind of things that I want to see dealt with and that haven't been dealt with in at least the past, since I've been aware of what's been going on, at least since the past 10 years. So I'm hoping to see, there's another 4 years coming up, and I hope to see some change there. But I sure didn't see that change in the first 4 years.
No, we didn't. And that has been disappointing. I'll be the first to say, I've said this both on my show and any other show that I've been had an opportunity to discuss this issue or these issues, that although we certainly would much rather have Barack Obama than Mitt Romney, Barack Obama has not been perfect for a variety of reasons, and we need to hold him accountable for that. Linda, can you stay with us? We need to take a break, and I'd like to chat with you a little longer.
No worries.
Very good. Linda Sarsour is my guest. She, again, is the director of the Arab American Association of New York and coordinator for the National Network for Arab American Communities. When we come back, we'll talk about her trip to the Detroit area since, we're in the Detroit area. Let's find out why she's coming, and we've got a lot more to get to. If you care to join us, feel free to do that right now, 888-552-3595. Much more to get to as we continue on First Shift right after we take this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, that is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, the traffic volumes have picked up, which means accidents. Let's go to US 23 southbound near 8 Mile, where you have one blocking your left lane. It's causing heavy traffic from Silver Lake Road. We got another reported accident on 696 westbound at 75, and that's causing slow traffic from DeQuinder. And you want to use some caution in this area. US 23 northbound, just before Michigan Avenue, there are reports of bags of cement in the center lane. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. I want to read something to you folks that I think many of you have forgotten. It's called The New Colossus, and some of you will know exactly where I got this from. Others will scratch their head and wonder why you'd never heard it before. You've not heard it before because you've been ignoring, really, part of the foundation of why America should be a great country. I warned in the last hour, ladies and gentlemen, that if we're not careful, one day we will be chanting, we're number eight. We may be closer to that than you realize. But listen to this sonnet and just take it in for a moment. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lighting and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command. The air-bridged harbor that Twin Cities frame, keep ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she. With silent lips, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Of course, that is the inscription that sits at the base. Linda, at the Statue of Liberty, I sometimes think we forget that this is supposed to be the land of opportunity, and no matter what color your skin, no matter what your nationality or creed, America is supposed to be welcoming you with open arms. We have failed, Linda. We have failed profoundly.
I mean, that's what we were supposed to do, Tony, and what our ideals are as a nation. But if we look at our history, we look at the Chinese Exclusion Act, we look at the Japanese internment camps, we look at slavery in our country. I mean, these are things that were legal. They weren't moral, but they were legal. So I think that we still, as a country, have not lived up to our ideals and provided the very opportunities and the the liberty that we have said that we are as a nation, and the freedom that we said we have as a nation, and why we're supposed to be the greatest nation in the world. So I hope that in my lifetime that we become that nation.
Well, I know that in our lifetime, if we work hard enough, if we dedicate ourselves to those ideas, the ideas of diversity, the ideas, Linda, of inclusiveness, that we can achieve these things and we can do it quickly. Talk a little bit about why you'll be in Detroit on the 29th and 30th of June.
Interestingly enough, I'm going to be in Dearborn for the Diversity Forum. It's a conference sponsored by the Islamic Society of North America. And the theme is strength through diversity, and looking at the diversity of the Muslim American community, from African Americans, West Africans, to Bosnians, Arabs, South Asians, and looking at what can we do together to be an inclusive community, what issues are affecting our community, how can we build bridges within our community on issues that are of concern to indigenous and immigrant Muslim communities. And it's an example of how we should be working across the country and bridging communities around issues, but also around faith and values and things that we aspire to as a nation. So I'm very excited to be speaking at the Diversity Forum, which will be held at the Islamic Center of America on Friday evening and Saturday.
Well, and you know, we need to, this is actually a reminder, Linda, that as we take a look at our communities, as diverse as they are, oftentimes we're not dialoguing in the right ways within our constituencies. We're not doing a good enough job of making sure that we're on the same page, that we're the activists that we need to be. And in fact, you know, one of the things that that jumped out at me anyway on your bio is that you coordinated the most successful Get Out the Vote effort in the Arab American community in Brooklyn. I can't fathom, Linda, that was an easy task.
It was not an easy task, and I actually can't fathom that it was one of the first ever, and we're like 2000, that was 2008, and the Arab community has been here, as you know, for at least one century, and especially in a very conservative community. I don't know if you know, but my current congressman right now is Congressman Michael Grimm. He's the first Tea Party representative to be brought into New York City. I mean, we're supposed to be the most liberal city probably in the country. So it was a hard task for us in 2008, but we were able to show that when new immigrants or new Americans go to the polls, the demographics shift, the election results shift. And that was a big scare for people, particularly on the conservative side. But then 2010 came along and you had the Ground Zero Mosque controversy. I mean, you had the likes of Peter King and the pundits. Just kind of Islam basically was put on trial in 2010, which really marginalized a lot of the people in the Muslim American community and the Arab community. A lot of people didn't feel like they can go to the polls. They couldn't find elected officials who defended them or stood up for their rights. At least not in our area, we couldn't find those folks. So it was a very difficult, more difficult for me to figure out how to get people out in 2010 than it was for me in 2008. Obviously, the Barack Obama was a big pull for people. He told people that there was going to be hope and change, and people went for that. But for me now, now going into 2012, I'm having another hard time. I'm hiring people to get out the vote. We're registering voters. We're trying to increase the percentage of voters in our district, and we're going to keep doing what we need to do. It's a long-term investment for us, and we're kind of in it for the long run. We're going to be here, and we're not going anywhere, so we're going to figure out how to play in this political game.
You know, it's interesting. You have this really rich and diverse background, and I want to point out that you call yourself, quote-unquote, a pure New Yorker, born and raised here, living a fairly traditional lifestyle. You're a mother of three. You work very hard. You kind of break some of the stereotypes, Linda, maybe not to the people in Metro Detroit, because, again, we live with a lot of Arab Americans. We have assimilated in so many ways, although there's a great deal of work to be done. I think we've made some progress. I really do believe that. Certainly in the part of New York that you live in, I would hope that's true as well, that you've made progress. But I can't imagine that the path you've decided to live has been an easy one for you all the time.
It hasn't been an easy one. As a matter of fact, a colleague of mine, the Reverend Scott Douglas from Birmingham, Alabama, actually told me something so profound the other day. I saw him in New York, and I told him I was tired. I'm 32 years old. I'm already burnt out. And he says to me, Linda, you know, our opposition's job is a lot easier than ours because what they're doing is they're rolling fear downhill. And what we're trying to do is roll hope uphill. And it was really profound because that is what we're trying to do in the work that we do, is continue to instill hope in people that the world will be a better place, that their communities will be better, that they'll get all the necessities that they need, and there will be justice in their communities. And while I'm tired, I'm in it for the long run, and I'm very privileged to have chosen a lifestyle like this and be an activist and do the service in my community, but really not just for my own people, but for the community that I live in that includes people from all walks of life. And there are many Arab and Muslim Americans across the country doing this. What I hope to see is more Muslim and Arab Americans in government, because I think once government becomes reflective of the people that it serves, I think that's when we'll be going down a much better path.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Let me give out a couple web addresses very quickly. Accesscommunity.org, that's accesscommunity.org, and isna.net, isna.net. We'll get them up on the Facebook page as well. Linda, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. I hope that we have a chance to meet when you're here in Detroit.
I hope to see you at ISNA.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I appreciate it. Linda Sarsour, my guest. When we come back, Bridget McCormick, candidate for the Michigan State Supreme Court. Man, we've got a lot to get to. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, the traffic volumes have picked up, which means accidents. Let's go to U.S. 23 southbound near 8 Mile, where you have one blocking your left lane, and it's causing heavy traffic from Silver Lake Road. We got another reported accident on 696 westbound at 75, and that's causing slow traffic from DeQuinder. And you want to use some caution in this area. U.S. 23 northbound, just before Michigan Avenue, there are reports of bags of cement.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees convened at their annual convention in Los Angeles and had their first contested election at the union in 30 years. Not only did they vote for their next leader,
former Secretary Treasurer Lee Saunders, who is outgoing President Jerry McEntee's handpicked successor, defeated Danny Donahue, the leader of New York's largest union, by an overwhelming 683,628 votes to 582,358 votes, respectively. Chuck Krajinski, director of AFSCME Local 4 of Columbus, Ohio, backed Saunders.
Done a lot for organizing. He's done a lot when we had big labor fights.
Following attempts led by AFSCME to recall Wisconsin Governor Walker, many wonder how unions will successfully combat well-funded efforts by the right to destroy unions. AFSCME's failed efforts to stop the governor left a sour taste among members who went up against state and out-of-state supporters who dedicated $31 million to defeat the recall. Henry Bayer, president of Union Council 31 in Illinois, says the Democrats didn't do enough for the recall.
From my vantage point, it seems as though the national Democrats didn't do as much as they could have.
At the same time, Krajinski says that McEntee, and by extension Saunders, did not recognize the threat to unionism on time. However, he doesn't blame the union's leadership for the outcome.
No, not at all. I think they had us outspent.
Krajinski also credits Saunders for helping overturn Ohio's Senate Bill 5 last year. That measure would have prohibited strikes led by public sector employees, eliminated bargaining rights, as well as binding arbitration in management labor disputes.
Whenever we've called on him in Ohio for our own, he's been there.
No one knows for sure what direction Saunders will take. In the meantime, the $100 million that AFSCME had pledged towards Obama's reelection is a move that is likely to rile up some rank and filers, particularly as union membership wanes and attacks on public sector unions continue. But without alternative solutions, AFSCME is determined to maintain its ties with the Democratic Party. Ohio Council 4 Director Chuck Krajinski.
I wouldn't be opposed to it if there was a direction that you could stick there instead, but right now I think that's the horse we're kind of stuck riding, and we're going to stay with it.
Leilani Albano, Workers Independent News, Los Angeles.
They also held discussions on the direction AFSCME will take and future fights. Leilani Albano has more on the story. This story was brought to you by the Workers Independent News and was made possible with a grant from the Berger Marx Foundation.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Many of you will remember, and we've talked about this really repeatedly for positively good reasons. I always get a little concerned, as I shared with you when we had Michigan Supreme Court candidate Connie Kelly on with us last week, that we get voter fatigue, that we get to that point in our ballot where we go, I don't know these names, I don't know if you know they're Democrats. Hey, I voted straight ticket, but when you come to vote for the Michigan Supreme Court, you need to understand that they're nonpartisan, and you need to continue to vote, and I don't want you to get voter fatigue, and I need you to make sure that when the papers give you those nice little study sheets that you can actually fill out and bring in with you to the voting booth, you do that. But I also want you to know who you're voting for. So we have made a commitment on this program to bringing you the candidates. One of them is Bridget McCormick, who joins us now on First Shift to talk about her candidacy for the Michigan Supreme Court. And, Bridget, it's a real honor to have you on the show today.
And thank you. It's an honor to be on the show today.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you heard my introduction. A lot of people get to that point in the ballot where they go, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just not going to vote for the judges, or I'm just going to guess at it. We know people do that, Bridget. I think it's important that we stop doing that. We need to vote for those folks, and I don't want people guessing at it. You know, so
we wouldn't guess at the other sections of the ballot, right? We know we go in knowing how important our votes are, and we make sure we cast them for the candidates who share our values. So I completely agree with you of making sure we educate folks about who the candidates are and what their values are is critical, and that's what we're trying to do right now. So thanks for your help with that.
No problem. I want to, you know, get to a similar list of questions that we gave to Connie Kelly, who spoke, by the way, glowingly about you, Bridget, as I'm sure you will of her. But I want to talk about the endorsement of the Michigan Democratic Party. Although you are nonpartisan, although you'll be on the nonpartisan part of the ticket, and again, I want to stress that because I don't want people to think, well, if the Democratic Party endorsed these candidates, then once I vote Democrat, that they get my vote, because they wouldn't. Let's talk about, although you may have been endorsed by the Democratic Party, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to vote for everything the Democratic Party would want you to. In fact, what it really gives us is a chance to see a little fairness on the court. But that's the way I see it. How do you see it?
I agree with you, Tony. I mean, that's the difference between the judiciary and the other branches of government. I mean, they're not the same, right? I mean, our founding fathers understood that we needed one place in our system of government where being right is more important than being popular or being powerful. And in our country, that place is supposed to be the courtroom. So, you know, even though in the other branches of government, we understand what the forces are that get people elected. In this branch of government, what we expect, and I think everyone agrees with this, no matter what their party affiliation is, no matter what their political leanings are, they want from their justice system fairness above all. They really want fairness and integrity. And that's the opportunity you have with me and Connie Kelly and Sheila Johnson. And it takes three of us.
Well, and that is part of, you know, my frustration as somebody that reports the news. And I'm an activist, Bridget. I'm not a journalist, so there's a difference between what I do and perhaps what others do in my field. But as an activist, somebody that is looking for fairness, somebody that wants to know that when there's an issue that goes before the Supreme Court, that there will be an honest debate instead of a pretty predictable outcome. And unfortunately, we've seen the pretty predictable outcome kind of, you know, there for a while now, and it's time for change. I mean, we fundamentally need fairness on the Supreme Court, as we were just talking about.
I really honestly believe
no matter who the voter is and what their background and party affiliation is, they would agree with you about that, Tony. I just think that that's all people want from their courts, and especially from their Supreme Court. They want to know that the justices on that court are going to look at the issue and view it without partisanship and decide it the way it's supposed to be decided based on the law, not make the law, not reach out and make new rules and new laws, but just decide it in a fair way with integrity. And that's that. You're right that that's been missing. We've had too much partisanship in our Supreme Court for quite a while now. There have been too many decisions that are decided completely along partisan lines, and that shouldn't be the case if everyone's doing the job they were elected to do on that court.
I'm not going to disagree with any of that. Before we go any further, we should probably give this audience a little idea of your background and what would qualify you, because in a way this is a job interview, Bridget McCormick. So tell us a little of your background and why you feel you are qualified to be one of the next Michigan Supreme Court justices.
Absolutely. Thanks. I am, as I know you know, I'm on the faculty at the University of Michigan Law School, and I'm the dean there for all of the clinical programs. The clinical programs are, sounds a little bit medical, but it's just the practical legal education programs where students represent people who otherwise couldn't afford counsel in all sorts of contexts and in every court, trial courts, appellate courts, state courts, federal courts, and we now in law schools teach students by doing real cases, representing real people. It's an important part of our education at this point, and I've been the dean of those programs for 8 years and on the faculty now for 15 years and practicing for 20, representing folks who have a hard time getting a fair shake in our courts, and both in my role as a teacher, teaching law students what the proper role of a court is supposed to be and the way the court is supposed to operate in our system of government, and in working with students representing people who have a hard time getting a fair shake. I have a real good view about where our justice system works pretty well and where it works a lot less well, and I'd like to take those experiences and my commitment to making sure everyone gets a fair shake to the Supreme Court.
Well, it's interesting, and I have to say this is totally, and maybe this is even wrong for me to do, but I met you a couple years ago, and I turned to somebody and said, how has she been doing this for 2 decades? You don't look old enough to be having done it for 5 years, let alone for 2 decades, so God bless you there. But I started to think as I was preparing for the interview today, how many wonderful lawyers you have helped shape in your career. That has to be fairly empowering for you, I would think.
It actually is. I have to say, I feel like I have one of the best jobs out there in law. So I to give it up isn't completely easy. But one of the best parts of it is I feel like I get to really affect the way law students on the verge of their careers, and these are folks that are going to be working in our justice system for 40 or 50 years. I get to affect how they view their role and what they can do with their powerful degree and how they can use it to better their communities. And so I think it's a pretty amazing job. And yeah, I think I've now turned out probably over 1,000 law students, and hopefully had a good effect on all of them.
Well, and I would suggest that is I'm sure most certainly true, Bridget McCormick. Before we go any further, I do want to let people know, and I'm sure if Jeff hasn't already done it, he will put up a link to the website. I know many of you are traveling to work, so the website is McCormickForJustice.com. That's McCormickForJustice.com. Again, we'll post this to the Facebook page. Just make it easier for everybody to go there. We do have to go here. There are three women, the three Supremes, if you will. A lot of women, especially progressive women, are very excited, Bridget, about this historic moment, because this is historic. We have not always had three women nominated for this prestigious honor to serve on the Michigan Supreme Court. And share with our audience how you feel about being part of that historic moment.
I actually think it's pretty incredible. I'm honored to be part of this team together with Connie Kelly and Sheila Johnson, both of whom will be fantastic Supreme Court justices. And I try to tried to look into, you know, whether there has been another ticket where three women were running for a state Supreme Court, and I'm not aware of one. So this really may well be a first, and I am very proud that the Michigan Democratic Party decided to nominate three women. I don't know. I hope it happens again, but I don't think it's happened before, and I think we should make the most of history here and use it to get people engaged and interested and voting all the way down the ticket, like you started the show with, Tony.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I did do my homework, and there is no one in no party, no organization in any state that has ever put up three women to run for the Supreme Court in any state ever. Ever.
So wow.
This has never happened. There's no question that's true. Let's talk a little bit about this thing that we've been calling the war on women. It's happened at the state level. It's been happening at the federal level. Again, we're asking you to be fair. So I'm not saying, the question's not, hey, Bridget McCormick, if a question that affects women's health or women comes up to this court, you're of course going to vote for women. The question is, you will of course be very fair, but I would again expect you to be very thorough.
Yeah, I think what unfortunately or fortunately, I mean, what we need in a Supreme Court justice is a commitment to do the job that you're elected to do, and that means looking at whatever the issues are before the court without bias and without partisanship and without politics, and that's what I believe voters will become convinced they can get from me and from Connie and from Sheila. That's what you want. You want justices who are committed to obviously take the issue extremely seriously, work very hard, and then make the decision that needs to be made based on the law, with fairness and integrity. And you're going to get that from the three women that are running together here for the Supreme Court: Sheila Johnson, Connie Kelly, and myself.
Well, we have to take a break. So stay where you're at, Bridget. This audience is loving you. Absolutely loving you. I'm getting lots of tweets, lots of emails. I'm just so glad that everybody's enjoying this. There is more to get to on the other side of this break. So I'm going to ask you all to stay with us. If you have a question or comment, feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595, or send your question to tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be back with candidate Bridget McCormick right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of
hearing the form of a question. Like, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh,
and the
yes.
doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I want to thank all of you that have reached out to me in the last few minutes, thanking me for having Bridget Mary McCormick on my show today. We have posted to our Facebook page, which many of you inhabit from time to time, a link to her website, but I will repeat it for those of you that do not have Facebook. It's It's McCormickForJustice.com. And McCormick is spelled McCormack. I want to make sure everybody gets that right so that you end up in the right place. So go check that out. Interestingly, Bridget, one of the classes you teach is on ethics. Let's just throw this out there. If you were teaching an ethics course to this current Michigan Supreme Court, well, here, let me ask that question a little differently. Do you think we need to teach an ethics course to this current Michigan Supreme Court?
Well, I think that, you know, more than anything, the justices of our Supreme Court should have a commitment to the highest professional standards. And, you know, for a judge, in some ways, the standards, the ethical standards are encompass all of the professional ethical standards that apply to lawyers, but also some others, obviously, and a commitment to impartiality and a commitment to keeping partisanship out of your decision-making process has to be chief among them. And as I've probably said so many times, you're getting bored of me saying it, that seems to me to be a critical thing we should all be thinking about as we choose our next Supreme Court justices.
Well, I'm actually not getting sick of you saying it or hearing it, because I think it's important. We need to talk about accountability. If we were to grade, and this, I'll ask the question again maybe in a little different way, if we were to grade the current Supreme Court, and maybe not all of them, but what kind of grade would we give them on accountability? Because I think ultimately that's what this is about, right? Accountability?
Yeah, so I don't think it's for me personally to say, but there are some professionals out there who have done some good studies and ratings of our current state Supreme Court, and the University of Chicago Law School is one of them. In 2008, the law review there did a very thorough empirical look at state Supreme Courts around the country, and ours was rated pretty low in terms of independence and integrity and accountability, and ranked, you know, between 46th and 50th along most of those lines. So the current Michigan Supreme Court definitely has room for improvement along all of those lines.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to, again, disagree with any of that. You know, as I'm sitting here listening to you and looking at the issues and you know, wondering about a little sanity moving forward, because, again, it goes back to the very beginning of our discussion. And, again, we're just talking about fairness and integrity and having justices that understand that it's really about the entirety of an argument, not just one side. It's not about protecting corporate citizenship over something else. And it's the activist. Bridget, I get it. It's the activist part of me that says, man, we've had so many things go against, quote unquote, us. But the frustration, and I'm speaking for a very progressive audience, the frustration is we just don't feel like an entire argument has been listened to, has been given its due, and that's really where the frustration comes in. For those of us that actually read when a state Supreme Court has a ruling and we go and read their rationale for it, as I know you do every time as well, Bridget, you kind of shake your head or scratch your head and go, how did they end up here?
Well, yeah, I am. I have to confess to being a bit of a law geek. I do read all of the decisions as they come out.
We want you to be a law geek, Bridget. We definitely do.
Yeah, it's an okay thing to be if you're interested in being on the Supreme Court. But I think you make the most important point about this election, Tony, and that is, it again doesn't matter what your politics are, it doesn't matter what your commitments are, even your basic values. You I think everybody agrees that they just want to know. They don't want a guaranteed outcome on a particular case, right? You don't want to believe that, you know, every single case that goes to the Supreme Court is going to get decided the way you personally wish it was decided. You just want to know that the litigants on both sides, no matter who they are, no matter how powerful they are, what, you know, access they have to the courts, that they're all going to get a fair shake, that everybody's going to get a fair shake when they go into that courtroom and make their case. And if they're heard, they're really heard thoroughly and they really have a fair shake and they lose, I think people would accept that, right? That's okay. We're not asking for guaranteed outcomes. We're asking for fairness. That's it. Just fairness for everybody.
Yes, and that is exactly what we're asking for. Let me, you know, because again, I said this little bit of a job interview. It's a little bit of a different job, though, Bridget. We're talking about representing an entire state. Talk a little bit about your family and how important family has been to the decisions that you've made throughout your career.
Families are obviously important to everyone, and I think when we think about how our justice system works, one of the first things I think we all care about is making sure our communities are safe, our families are safe, and that everybody we care about gets a fair shake. I have four kids. My husband and I are raising four kids here in the Ann Arbor Public Schools, and like everyone else with kids in middle school and high school, I want to worry about, you know, my kids figuring out where they can go to college and, you know, getting a good job sometime. And I don't want to worry about their safety in their communities or things like that. So I want to make sure our justice system works well to protect our families, for sure. At the same time, I want to make sure that all of our families get a fair shake when they end up in our justice system. And so that's obviously something I've spent a lot of time on in my own work, in some of the clinics that I have founded over the course of my career. We've worked for families who didn't have an easy time getting a fair shake in the justice system. So, for example, in the pediatric health advocacy clinic, the law students and their supervisors, me included at the outset, represent Michigan families who have children who are ill, sometimes seriously ill, and the doctors who are treating them can't make much of a difference with their health problems because there's a legal impediment to getting them better. So, as an example, one of the first people we represented was a woman who had five kids and two of them had sickle cell disease, exactly the same diagnosis, and needed exactly the same kind of treatment. But this poor mom made a mistake filling out her form with respect to one of those two kids. So one of them was getting the treatment that the pediatricians thought was appropriate, and the other one couldn't get the treatment because the insurance company told her that she wasn't covered. And it was literally just a mistake she made. And the pediatrician couldn't fix the problem because it turned into a legal problem, but law students could. So by working together with the doctors who are treating these families, we are able to, it's still a fantastic program, to get families who have a harder time getting a fair shake to try and get that for them.
All right, we only have about a minute left, so I'm going to have to ask.
No,
I know.
I have lots more to say.
And we're going to have you back. You don't need to worry about that. But let's. And I'm going to have to ask you to do this in 30 seconds. How difficult is it to campaign statewide?
It's a huge state. We have to figure out how to make sure we get our message out without having to go to every single place, even though I'd love to go to every single place. That's my first choice. But we have to do things like this to make sure people hear from us, even if they haven't met us.
Well, feel free to use this interview liberally. It was great to meet you. We will have you back as many times as we can between now and November. Thank you, Bridget McCormick, so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. We have to take a quick break. I enjoyed that a great deal. Chris Mihalakis, when we continue here on First Shift. Please stay with us.
...1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways. We're still following that accident on US 23 southbound near 8 Mile. It has your left lane blocked and it's causing stop-and-go traffic from Lee Road.
Also on 696 westbound at 75, accident has your right shoulder blocked with slow traffic from Van Dyke. And we're watching some brake lights on 75 southbound between Rochester Road and 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 83 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 89. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Miklaszewski. How hot is it? The Rocky Mountains and Great Plains, red hot again, with 100-degree readings from Miles City, Montana, south to the Rio Grande. NBC's Miguel Amaguer says that's bad news for firefighters.
It's been a mean and wicked fire season all across Colorado, what one official describes as the worst fire season here in more than a decade.
Meantime, the Sunshine State is soggy with Tropical Storm Debbie stalled in the Gulf. NBC's Al Roker.
We're going to be looking at another 15 inches of rain, northern Florida on into southeastern Georgia, but 3 to 5 inches all the way down to Miami.
Flooding a problem from Tampa throughout the Florida panhandle. Forecasters say the weather event known as El Nino could develop between July and September, bringing above normal rainfall. And Commerce sees a return of the cruise ship industry 5 months after the Costa Concordia disaster off Italy that killed 32 people. Costa bookings have rebounded in a big way, up 25%. This is NBC News Radio. Both sides have something to gripe about in the Supreme Court split decision on Arizona's immigration law. The court has reined in parts of the law while upholding police checks. How's it playing on the campaign trail? NBC's Chuck Todd.
Any day that the Romney campaign is not talking about the economy, they believe that's a lost day. For the president, they couldn't have designed a better Supreme Court ruling because they got to win the larger argument. You can't have 50 different immigration laws.
Meantime, the Supreme Court has no second thoughts on unlimited campaign contributions, reversing a Montana law that imposed limits on political spending by corporations. More states cracking down on drivers using cell phones, Connecticut and California among those upping the ante by raising fines for violators. And sorry, bugs, but real bunnies don't eat carrots. In fact, a new study says well-meaning rabbit owners are putting their pets at risk by feeding them too many carrots. They should be fed hay, grass, and dark greens, and that's What's Up, Doc. I'm Jim Miklaszewski, NBC News Radio.
When you're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 70,000 diverse safety products, and that number's growing. Everything from personal protection gear and safety signs to online safety training tools, all to help you reduce injuries and downtime and keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger Safety, Grainger. Hey, you get the idea. Cut back on costs and worries. Call VicGrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
People who use Mac computers have different demands of their hotel accommodations than people who use Windows, or at least they're willing to pay more money. That's according to Orbitz.com, which has discovered that Mac users book hotel rooms through its site that cost 30% more than rooms Windows users book. So Orbitz is starting to deliver different hotel search results depending on which operating system you're on. A split could be coming for Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation. The Fox Movie Studio, TV network, and cable channels would become one company. Properties including Dow Jones, parent of the Wall Street Journal, and Market Watch would help make up the other. All this according to the Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, global stocks fell following predictions Moody's Investor Service would cut the ratings on several Spanish banks. In all, 28 banks in Spain have been downgraded by Moody's. That after Wall Street's close. Markets are a little higher today, and S&P futures right now are gaining a half point. NASDAQ futures up 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Where were you when JFK's intern revealed their affair to Meredith Vieira?
The president came over to me and we went into the bedroom.
When Bob Costas confronted accused Penn State predator Jerry Sandusky.
If you're not a pedophile, then what are you?
And Brian Williams got the whole story behind Osama bin Laden's takedown.
We are inside the White House Situation Room for the first time.
Rock Center with Brian Williams, all new, all summer. Thursdays, 10, 9 central on NBC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Cornwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
As I'm listening to that open, I'm thinking, demand more. What's wrong with that? Demand more. I mean, at some level, doesn't that make sense to all of you? Demand more. You might just get it. Now, sometimes you got to ask for what you want. Pretty simple. 7 minutes after the hour. Chris Mihalakis in studio with us in just a few seconds here. We'll get to that in just a few seconds. Want to remind you that if at any time throughout the hour you would like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-